time, the Lord being my helper. The Bible said, I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of His Word. And let's bow together and try to pray and ask God's help and grace as we preach the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the good singing. Thank You, Lord, for the children and for their participation in the service and for their songs in the house of God. I want to thank You tonight for the privilege of being here, for Your people, for the fellowship that we can enjoy. For thank You for the Word of God that we have as a comfort and a stay for our life and livelihood. We thank You, Lord, for Calvary, for the precious blood that You shed there for the remission of our sin, that we might enjoy eternal and everlasting life. Father, I pray that You would bless Thy Word tonight as we try to preach it. Lord, that You'd give power, grant liberty in the service and help from the Holy Ghost. And I pray You'll deal with every heart. Help us tonight, Lord, to enjoy the service and the blessings of God. And may Your precious name be magnified and exalted. And we'll thank You for the grace and for the help that You give us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention this evening to verse number 9. The first part of that verse is where we'll be drawing our thought from. Where the Bible said there, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved. As we know, that is our Lord speaking, our heavenly bridegroom, and speaking about the church. And He says there that the mouth or the roof of the mouth of the church is like the best wine, and it's for Him. It is for my beloved. Now, if you know anything about the law of gravity, according to that law, everything that goes up must come down. Isn't that a fact? Whatever you throw up in the air, I mean, it is going to come back down. And likewise, in the Bible or in biblical theology, there's also a fact, and that is what goes in will eventually come out. And that's what I want to try to preach on for a little while tonight, if God will help me. What goes in is what comes out. The Lord said that the roof of the mouth of the church was like the best wine, and it was there for her beloved. Now, by way of introduction, in verse number 8, Christ declares His going up to the palm tree. And if you remember, that palm tree is the church, the house of the living God. And I want you to understand, He's talking about a visible church, a local church, a church that such as we enjoy in this building tonight. Not the building, the church meets in the building. And that is the church that He is referring to. And He says that He'll take hold of the boughs thereof. That is the work that He's going to do in the church. Now, this is not a sudden reaction by our Lord. You know, so many times we do things suddenly. I mean, just on the instant. I mean, something will cross our mind and immediately that's what we do. And if we're not careful, many times it'll get us in trouble. I want to say you better sit down and take time to pray things through before you make decisions in life, especially decisions that will alter your life or change the life of you and your family. I realize now, you know, when I was just a single man, the decisions I made basically affected nobody but me. But I realized when I grew up and got married, then my decisions affected not only me, but Mrs. Hall. And when children came along, then it affected me, Mrs. Hall, and the children. And when grandchildren came along, it affected me, Mrs. Hall, children and the grandchildren. And then I realized when I got called to preach and began to pastor a church that every decision that I made in life not only affected me, but it affected Mrs. Hall, the children, the grandchildren, and everybody in the church that I'm pastoring. I'm simply saying we'd do well to sit down and meditate and consider the decisions that we make. But this is no sudden reaction by the Lord. It is a deliberate resolve. He said, I will go up to the palm tree. And when I get there, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. I want to say that it had a long time to make that resolve. From all eternities past, the church has been in the economy, in the mind of the Lord. It's not something He dreamed up after Adam fell and Israel failed, but is always in the mind of God, had a plan to call out a bride for Himself out of the Gentile nations around the world. And so this is a deliberate resolve to go up to the church and take hold of the boughs thereof. Now you stay right with me. The effects of His presence is found, or presence in the church, is found in the next three statements. Her breaths are clusters of the vine, and they refer to the fruitfulness of her life. I want to say a church ought to be a fruitful church. God has never saved us, baptized us, and brought us together to be barren and unfruitful. And not just individuals now. He's talking about the entire church of the living God in this place. He wants us. He didn't say take hold of the vow. He said the vow, referring to every individual that is truly saved and united with that church. It is His intention that we be a fruitful or a fruit-bearing church in our life. And then He said the smell of the nose is like the a fragrance that she puts on. And of course, that speaks of the fragrance of the church. Hey, folks, there ought to be a ripe, sweet odor or fragrance that comes off of the people of God. Amen and amen. And then the final thing He says here is that the roof of her mouth is like the best wine, and that is the flavor of the church. So we find the fruitfulness of our Christian life, and then we find the fragrance of our Christian life, and then we find the flavor of our Christian life. God may let me to preach on them 3 points when I get to Brother Griffiths come the 29th. I'm here to tell you, friend, God has given us a real life to live for the glory of God. There is no comparison for the present from the past. I'm here to tell you, friend, that I'm glad tonight that God saw fit to save me one day and change my entire life by the grace of God. I must say it has been a right favorable life for His honor and His glory. And I wouldn't trade nothing for the Christian life that God's given me. I'll tell you, friend, a lost man knows nothing about real life until he gets saved by the grace of God, gets in the house of God, learns to fellowship with the people of God, that he might find the blessings of God within his life. Amen and amen. Now I want you to notice, if you would, that the roof of her mouth, he said, is like wine. But it's not just any wine. He said it's like the best wine. Friends, it ever occurred to you that God always gives His best to His people? Oh yeah, hey, it's not just ordinary wine, it's the best wine. I'm going to say the life that He gives us is the best life that anybody can have. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I remember what it's like to wake up in the morning, friend, gagging on my own vomit, a bad head, been out all night long and thought I was having fun and realized I wasn't doing nothing but destroying my own body, destroying my own life, destroying my own family, and 99% of the time I was destroying everybody I come in contact with. But hallelujah to God, I'm glad that I found the good way. The Bible said, in fact, that the
psalmist said, I thought on my ways and my feet inclined unto Him. Now I'm telling you, if a sinner will think long enough on his ways and his life and where he's headed, I'll guarantee you he'll repent and turn around and begin to follow the Lord. For His way is the way that leadeth unto life. His way is the way of joy. His way is the way of happiness. His way is the way of holiness. His way is the way of eternal and everlasting life. Now I'm telling you, those that follow their own pernicious ways shall wind up in death away from God and spend all eternity in a place that is called hell, where their worm dieth not, friend, and the fire shall never be quenched. Amen. So it's the best wine. Now I'm glad Jesus always gives us His best. I'll never forget old Harold Smallwood. Harold used to tell me, he said, smile, Gary. He said, God will always give His best to those that leave the choice with Him. How true that is, friend. I found that to be right. He's never led me wrong one time. I've been a servant of Him now for over 30 years. And He has never led me astray. He has never disappointed me. Not one time has God ever done me wrong. He has always been good and always given me the best that God can give. And I'm going to tell you, friend, most of the time when we don't have the best, it's when we will not let God do for us what God wants to do in our life. Bunch of stiff-necked and stout-hearted and rebellious Baptists that will not yield to the way of God and the will of God and the Word of God, and you'll never have the best of God in your life until you do. Amen. Now notice this. The next three words, it says there, the roof of thy mouth is like the best wine for my beloved. And that, the word beloved there is always used of the church speaking about the Lord. And I realize this is the Lord speaking. But it is almost to me like here the church makes a real interjection. And when the Lord said that the roof of thy mouth is like the best wine, it's almost like the bride said, and therefore it's for my beloved. In other words, you've given me your best that I in turn may give my best to you. That is right. And I'm going to tell you, God will never give you His best until you learn to take the best that He gives you and turn right around and give the best of it right back to Him. He'll not share His glory with anybody else. And He's not going to bless you until you learn how to use His blessings. And His blessings are used best, giving them back to God in His service. She said, that best wine is for my beloved. He gives you the best life that in turn you may take that life and use it to serve Him and for His glory. Huh? Not squander it away like the prodigal son down in the hog pen of the world. We've got a lot of Baptists tonight sitting on church pews and they're living in the world on a Baptist church pew. Well, they're not drinking. They're not cussing, committing adultery. But they're living a worldly lifestyle, sitting on the pew of a church, because they will not take the best God has to offer and then use it for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. And then, it's just like she says, you have given me thy best, now I give my best to thee. And shouldn't we not always do that? I think we should, shouldn't we? Amen. Or to give Him the best we have, the best of our life. You young people in here, listen, quit talking and listen to me a minute. You young people, don't squander your youth. Give the best you have to God. I know so many folks want to admit, young people want to sow their wild oats, you know. Or I want to live a little bit while I'm young. Won't you learn to live for God while you're young? That is right. Learn to live for God while you're young. And give your best to it. Give your time and your talents to God, and give you time to Him while you've got time, because there's coming a day, neighbor, when our time will run out. Give you vigor to Him while you've got vigor. There'll come a day when you'll get old and weak and feeble. Your bones will get stiff and you'll get sore and you'll wear out easy and your body will get tired. And then you'll look back and would to God that you had burned up for Him while you was young. Don't be selfish and stingy with the life that God's given you. Give it back to Him and live it for His glory.
Amen.
Then she says, then He says, the roof of thy mouth. I won't preach on that a little while. And what goes in is what comes out. Are you listening? And the roof of the mouth has two primary purposes. First of all, it's used for the tasting of food. And if you don't believe that, young people who listen to Brother Hall, ask anybody that's got an upper plate and they'll tell you when they got that upper plate put in their mouth, their food took a terrible turn for the worst in flavor. It got awful bland. You know why? They lost part of their taste buds. You ever take them mashed taters and just mash them up against the roof of your mouth and let them squeeze up there, ain't you good? Take them old pinto beans and waller them around with your tongue on the roof of your mouth. Ain't they wonderful? Take that banana pudding and that fruit delight that like we had out there Sunday and just let it waller around. I bit on some of them blueberries, son, and juice squirted for 5 feet out of the corner of my mouth. Wasn't that good? Hey, I'm glad I've got some taste buds that I can taste just how delicious food is. And the Lord said that the roof of your mouth, the taste buds in your mouth, are like the best wine. That is, friend, what the church takes in her mouth is just like the best wine. Not any wine, but the best wine. I'm talking about flavorful wine, exhilarating wine, something that's got a flavor to it, and the Christian life has got a real flavor to it. And then that roof of that mouth, not only used for tasting food, but it helps in our speech.
Right.
That's how them Mexicans that roll that tongue around on the roof of the mouth, and they learn how to say "Buenas noches, hermano. ¿Cómo está, señor? Muy bien, muy bien. Usted predica. Y'all try to do that one time. Predica en México." The way you put that tongue on the roof of your mouth is helps you with your speech. If I know anything at all about what the Lord's saying here, He's saying the church's text and the church's talk is like the best wine. Now I'm going to tell you, we can't walk the talk or talk the walk or talk the talk unless we have been dining on something that will enable us to walk, amen, or to talk. For what goes in, my friend, will always come out. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what we're putting into our hearts is what eventually will come out of our mouths, and that is where the taste is coming from. What goes in is what comes out. I want to ask you something tonight. What are you putting in it? Huh? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what we feed our heart is what comes out of our mouth. That's right. What we feed our heart is what comes out of our mouth. And we must ensure that what we take in has got proper taste. Because what we take in will come back out. Let's come on in the house, children. Do you know why you can't get much out of folks these days? They ain't taking the right thing in. How can we talk about God? How can our talk be holy and righteous when we're taking in Hollywood and sin, oh yes, and all kind of wickedness? When we're taking it in, friend, we cannot expect our talk to be flavorful. It will not, for what goes in will eventually come out of our mouth. Amen. What are you taking in tonight? What are you dieting on? Like I said the other day, a fellow diets all the time, eats garlic, you're going to smell it. Garlic goes in, garlic comes out. Onions goes in, onions comes out. Raisin bran goes in, raisin bran goes out. Cigarettes goes in, cigarettes comes out.
Amen.
For the natural, ain't it?
Amen.
Huh? The roof of your mouth is like the best wine. Touch and talk. Taste and talk, brother. Taste and talk. What are you tasting these days? The taste of your mouth. I'm going to ask you something. Have you tasted the Lord? Son, if we've tasted Him, He ought to come out. Our talk ought to be about the Lord.
Yes,
I can always tell when we've been doing more deer hunting than we have reading our Bibles.
Amen.
I can always tell when we've been doing more newscasts than we have reading our Bibles.
Amen.
What goes in and what comes out.
Sure.
I won't charge you nothing for that. Yes, Psalm 34 and verse 8 said, "Oh, taste the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Have you tasted Him lately?
Amen.
Was He like honey in the honeycomb? Was He sweet to your taste? Taste of the Lord.
Amen.
Is your roof of your mouth like the best wine? Do you have the taste of the Lord in your mouth tonight? Or do you have a worldly taste? A wicked taste? You know, Job talked about having corrupt breath. Job said, the breath is corrupt because of what I've been dining on. Are you listening tonight, or am I preaching to the wife? Maybe I ain't got there yet. He said, "Taste of the Lord and see that He's good." I wish Jerome was here. Have you tasted His Word? You can't taste the Lord without tasting the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
For our eyes have seen, and our hands have handled, and we have tasted, John said, of the Word of life. I wonder if we've really been tasting the Word of God. Huh? Here's what Psalm 119, verse 103 says. How sweet are thy words. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know what? A lot of folks don't want to taste the sweetness of the Word of God in their mouth. For it's like John was in the book of the Revelation. Oftentimes it's sweet to the mouth, but it's bitter to the belly. It tastes good, but after you digest it, you'll find that it'll rebuke, and reproof, and does a little by little of exhorting in the day that we're living in. Folks don't want it. Folks don't taste it in the mouth, because it winds up bitter in the belly. Have you tasted of the Word of God? It's sweet like honey. I'm trying to encourage you. Listen, friend, you know what all the Word of God does? Listen carefully. The Word of God will enlighten man's eyes. For it says in Psalm 19:8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Like it did Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14:27. Old Jonathan put his staff down in a little bit of that honey and tasted it. And the Bible said that it enlightened his eyes. It opened up his eyes that he might see the grand and the glorious victory that God had for him. God help us to read that book that we might get our eyes open, behold wondrous things out of His law. You know why the Christian life is dead and dull and dry to most people? So they never get involved in the Word of God. I'm living my life in the Word of God. That's right. I try to live my life around the promises that God's given me. When He told me to leave Indiana, go to the land God had shown me, I would go over there and read that scripture quite frequently. Just to remind myself that God is the one that sent me out of that place. When I get low, I read in Exodus 33 where it said His presence would go with me. And I find encouragement from that. When I get discouraged sometimes in the ministry, I turn over and read 1 Kings chapter number 17 where He told me to turn eastward. And I literally live my life in the Word of God. You won't think me crazy if I tell you this, will you? But I'm going to tell you, there's times I like to put myself right in the life of Elijah. Right in the life of Paul. Right in the life of Elisha. I mean, they're role models, friend. And I try to look at things in my own Christian life and take the Word of God and apply them to my own life. And I'm going to tell you, it's one of the most blessed things that can ever happen in your life. What do you think we teach you for?
Right. Amen.
What do you think they write books like on great women of the Bible for?
You can look at those women and pick up certain things in their life that fit the situations in your own particular life. And son, you can live your life right in the Word of God. Let it enlighten your eyes. Let the Bible open your eyes that you might see how glorious our God is. How blessed the life that we live is. How holy it is. His demands for us and His warnings concerning us.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? It enlightens the eyes. Oh, the roof of your mouth is like the best wine. Taste because of the taste. It enlightens our eyes. I want to say it not only enlightens our eyes, His Word, but it educates the sinner. The Bible said in Psalm 19:7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise of the simple. I wonder how much wisdom that we have today. Huh? I'm going to tell you why we don't, why we're kind of simple-minded. I'm going to tell you why we have got people, and look here, I'm not for this man, but they said that Graham, what's his name?
Franklin
Graham. Billy Graham's boy. Made a statement about the Muslim religion the other day, and they like to persecute people, persecuting them all over the world.
Right.
Oh, to say that thing about the Muslim faith. Why not? It's one of the most truthful things a man's ever said in his life.
Amen.
And the reason people do not see that is because they've never got into the Word of God and had their eyes open to the truth of the Scriptures.
Amen.
Amen. They've never been educated, friend. They've never been made wise. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't have wisdom." Have you asked God for it?
Amen.
If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You can study and get education, but you can only get wisdom from God. It's got to come down from God, friend. Now, I'm going to tell you, you might be as dumb as a box of rocks in secular education and be one of the wisest men that ever lived.
Amen.
Don't believe me. When you get to heaven, ask, what's the old fellow? You are my sunshine.
Jimmy Davis.
What Jimmy Davis said about his daddy. Had a third grade education, but he said into this day, said, Niles Davis is one of the wisest men that I ever met in my life. Son, I'm going to tell you, secular education don't make you wise. That book is what will make you wise.
It'll
help you to make right decisions in your life. Oh, make you as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove before God. If there's any book you ought to read, read the Bible. Somebody said, I don't have time to read many books. No, hey, take time to read that book. Lay other books down and read that book. Somebody said, but preacher, I read it and don't understand much I'm reading. Keep on reading it. I got news for you. I don't understand a whole lot of it. I read either, but every now and then, buddy, it'll jump out. Oh, man, I'm telling you, God will enlighten a verse, enlighten a thought. It'll jump out at me, friend, just like a lightning bolt, stab me in the heart. I'll do a double back flip, run around the upstairs in the upper room, come unglued, shout about an hour and a half, have myself a time in God because He enlightened my mind and educated me in the Bible that I've been reading.
Amen.
You're wondering what I'm doing now. I want to try to encourage you to read a little bit more. The book. Huh? Are you listening? Taste of His Word. Why? It enlightens the eyes. Secondly, it educates sinners. Thirdly, it affects the heart. You'll never read that book without it affecting you in some way. Psalm 19 and verse 7 said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Working on the heart. Somebody said, well, I know somebody's lost. Encourage them to read the Bible.
Amen.
Give them tapes that they might listen to if they can't read. Somebody said, I don't read well. Get the Bible on cassette and listen to the Bible.
Amen.
Saturate your heart and mind with the Bible. I tell you, that book, my friend, will affect the heart of a sinner and save them, but it'll also affect the heart of a born-again child of God.
Amen.
You cannot take that Bible in without it affecting your heart. I want to say secondly, and I've got to try to hurry. Not only taste His Word, but how long has it been since you tasted His wafers? Huh? That dropped a bomb, didn't it? Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Exodus 16:31, the Lord dealing with them about manna. And He said, in the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Let me ask you something, friend. How long has it been since you had a little bit of manna? I'm talking about sweet manna. White like coriander seed manna.
It will try you. Come on, the house, children. Are we getting any word all tonight? I'm trying to. By it, they were tried. That manna will try you. Oh, it's all the Word of God. Just in a little different light, but that manna will try you. He said in Exodus 16:4, go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. They were tried by the manna. I'm going to tell you what that book will do for you, friend. It'll try your heart. It'll prove whether you're in the faith or not. It'll examine you. It'll cause you to look at yourself and see what you really are. Now, I'm telling you, many times I look in at Miss Patty and I really don't like what I'm looking at.
Amen.
It'll prove you, friend. It'll try you.
Amen.
You had any wafers lately?
Amen.
He also gave it for a testimony. Not only for to try them, but for a testimony. Listen to what he said in Exodus 16:32. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation. And verse number 34 said, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And it was a testimony of him. That is, it revealed him. I'm going to tell you why we're weak and anemic on our knowledge of Christ today, friend. We're not dining on the Word of God. That Bible will reveal the Lord Jesus to us. I said, I'd like to know more about Him. Oh, I'm telling you, more and more about Jesus. Would I know more of His grace to others? Show more of His saving fullness. See more of His love who died for me. You'll find it in the Bible. It's His book. It's not a book. It's the book. I heard Marlon Maddox sitting there today, and he's dumber than a box of rocks when it comes to theology. Talking about those folks in Washington taking time out to worship God and having revival and worship services out in the hallways there in one of the federal buildings. And old Marlon Maddox said, well, friend, you know that this is a day the Lord has made. I said, liar, liar, pastor's on fire and your nose is blowing the telephone wire. It's not a day made, it's the day. There's a big difference in a day and the day, friend.
Amen.
Today is a day, but Sunday is a day. That's right. But if they're both the day, Sunday can't be Monday and Monday can't be Sunday and otherwise. And no other day can be the day that Christ died on Calvary. It was an appointed day, appointed in the counsels of God before the world ever was. And that verse of Scripture is talking about Calvary. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that that book, friend, is a testimony of Him. The New Testament is His testament, written in His own blood, the Bible said. And it reveals Him. And I thought about this when I was studying this, Brother Doug, today, that testimony or that book that reveals Him, if people would read it, they'd understand that it cannot be talking about Allah.
That's right.
Amen. That book don't reveal Allah and it don't reveal Buddha, friend. It reveals the one and only God, the Lord Jesus. It's an entire revelation of Him. Somebody said, I had a revelation. Well, what did you eat before you went to bed? I'm going to tell you something. Brother Dale was telling me today, and I'm telling you, I'm amazed. And I'm not going to say on tape who this man was, but a fellow said that God called him into a particular ministry and said he was a prayer and looked out the window and saw a vision in the window. I'm talking about an independent Baptist preacher, friend. That saw a vision in the window that called him into the ministry that he's in. I'm going to tell you, that man been eating garlic or pizza or something before he went to bed that night. That Bible is a closed revelation. Open the book. He opened the book. He fulfilled the book. And He closed the book. And there are no other revelations of Christ.
Amen.
If you want to see Him, if you want to find Him, get in the book. I was standing up at Shoney's when they were still in business up here after a service one night on a revival meeting, and there was Vestal Goodman was up there. Vestal was standing at the end of the salad bar, and we were sitting in the table at the end of it. And she was talking to people, and she said, yeah. She said, Sunday night I couldn't sleep, and I couldn't rest. And said, God woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, said at 4 o'clock in the morning, said, I seen Jesus standing at the foot of my bed, and He told me what to preach. I never heard anything so ridiculous in all my life. I'm going to tell you something, friends, because people don't know anything about the book. They've never read the Bible. All you got to do is read Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, and you'll know, friend, that God, in sundry times and divers manners, spoke unto us by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And that means that book right there. That's right. And that book will that book is the only thing that will reveal Him.
Amen. That's right.
I started to use this night and didn't think I'd have time to do it, but I think I got plenty of time. Slow as we going. But Daniel, if you'll read over in the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, and Nebuchadnezzar said, I need somebody to interpret this dream, and the wise men, soothsayers, and counselors down there could not interpret his dream. Old Daniel got up and prayed. And he went to Nebuchadnezzar and he said, the God of heaven has revealed your dream to me.
Right?
I'm telling you, God is a revealer, friend. That's right. And He'll reveal that which glorifies Him. And that's right.
Amen.
And He'll only reveal to you what you can bear. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, he said about Melchizedek, I got a whole lot to tell you about Melchizedek. But you're not able to bear it now. And I'm going to tell you the reason God don't say anything more to some of you. You're not able to bear what God has for you yet.
Amen.
He ain't going to overload you and give you the colic.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I like what old Brother Nolan told me the other day. He said, preacher, he said, I think you're probably mature enough now that you can probably enjoy John Gill's books, that they'd choke a young preacher to death. And you know what Brother Brown told me on the phone a while ago? I like to fail out. He said he was at Brother Fletcher's on Tuesday night when General was a preaching. He said Brother Nolan got loose again and got to jumping up and down shouting in the pulpit. Preaching.
Amen.
Brother Nolan! I said, choo-choo, you're not. He said, oh, he said, I was there. I didn't just hear it, I saw it. He said, the old man got plumb wild as a guinea while he's a preacher. Said he started a high-stepping and a jumping around and a shouting and a carrying on. Said it broke out in that place like wildfire. They had 13 folks saved this week. A man they've been a praying for years. His wife, a little old woman named Pam, got 8 children. They've been a praying for that man for years. Got born again on Friday night. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, called Brother Gene Mathias. Said, Brother Gene, guess what? I got saved the night down at the church house. Somebody said, what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened, friend. The God of glory took that Bible under the preaching of a God-called man and opened the eyes of a blinded man and revealed His grace and His glory out of that book that he might be saved. That's right, buddy. Praise be unto the Lamb of God. I want to say this. What goes in comes out. If you have tasted His Word, you've tasted that manna, you've tasted that word and that wafer, what comes out, friend, it'll be like wine. The best wine. It'll taste wonderful. If the taste is right, the talk will be right. That's right. If you've got the word and the wafers in you, the talk you talk will be right. We don't want to talk about Him. By the way, do you know why your children come on in the house now? You know why your children don't know how to talk about God or don't talk about God? They don't hear nothing about it at the house.
Amen.
You know what Deuteronomy 6 says? Hey, you're to talk about the Lord while you're in the way when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, talk about Him. And I'll tell you, if you'll talk about Him, your children will eventually talk about Him also. That's right. Now I want to say this. Have you tasted His wine? His word is wafers and wine. Have you tasted His wine?
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. Oh, no, I'm not. At the marriage supper, at the wedding in Cana, when the Lord got down to Cana and they run out of wine, and His mother said, they're out of wine. He said, woman, what's that to me? She told the servant, said, you just do what He tells you to do. She must have knew something, buddy, that the rest of them didn't know. I'm glad, thank God, that he, as an adult man, unmarried, was yet obedient to his parents. As an adult! Let that soak in on you a little while. Children? She knew he wasn't going to say no.
He would have broken the commandment of Exodus 20 if he had said no to her. And I've got a feeling, we don't see it in the text, but I got a feeling she called him home and said, son, I'm going to spank your rear end if you don't give him some wine. And you and me know who you are, and we know you can do it. Somebody said, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. And I'm telling you, everything that's written ain't in that book. And when he was hanging on the cross and looked down at John and said, hey, behold thy mother, and you behold your son. He's still looking out for his mother. He was, he is the Son of God, but I'm telling you, he was also the son of Mary. And he was obedient to Mary and Joseph in his life upon this earth. Even as God in the flesh, friend. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you the marvelous thing, and I ain't even a preacher, but the marvelous thing is that here is a 100% man and 100% God. He is God, and yet he can be obedient to earthly parents and not transgress the law of God one time.
Amen.
Woo! Have you tasted of his wine? He said, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine in verse 10, it says, he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Are you listening? I want to say that wine was bountiful. I figured that thing out. Do you realize that the water he turned into wine was anywhere, depending on the size of those water pots, anywhere from 108 to 162 gallons at a wedding. From 108 to 162 gallons of grape juice.
Amen.
And friend, I'm going to tell you something. He wanted them to have all that they needed. Now I want to ask you, have you tasted that wine? If you have, what is our problem out of my mind? He's not stingy.
Amen.
These words have I spoken. These words have I spoken into you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He filled the water pot with joy. From 108 to 162 gallons of juice.
Amen.
Bountiful. Bountiful. And the governor of the feast said, man, this is the best. It's not only bountiful joy, it's the best joy you can have. He's give his best to us, friend. Cheer up, smile. That's right, and you don't even have to smile because you're on candid camera. You can smile because your name's written in heaven.
That's right.
Best! Remember when you was out on the dance floor and thought it was good? Having a barrel of fun, wasn't you? Just like a barrel of monkeys, boy. You know, I heard today that 55% of the cash that flows into the Taliban comes from heroin that they grew in their own country.
Right.
You know what an expert on drugs said about the war with Russia? Said, you know how they whipped Russia? They got them addicted to drugs. You know where the word heroin comes from? You want to know why them boys flew them airplanes into them buildings? The word heroin comes from the word hero. Them boys thought they were heroes, friend. High as a Georgia pine and thought they'd float right out of this life into something just like the high they're on.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, this poor benighted world shoot their arm full of dope and drugs and all that garbage and gets drunk on liquor and think, boy, this is the life. This is heaven on earth, buddy. I'm having a time. But Jesus said, the wine that he's got, and he's got all of it you need, friend. If you'll get into that book and taste the wine, he's got all the joy right there that you'll ever need in that book. And it's good. It's the best. Then I want to say the last part, the talk. Not only the taste of the mouth, but the talk of the mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What goes in is what comes out. And I'm going to tell you, if these things have went in, if these things have went in, the word, the manna, or the word, and the wine, and the wafers, if they've went in, what will come out? I believe will be thankful. Our talk. When was the last time you really thanked Him? I can't do no more than just talk to you tonight, but when was the last time you really thanked Him? This is Thanksgiving week, and they've already got stupid Santa Clauses all over the country. Went down at Kmart today, this afternoon, to buy a few items, toiletry items that we needed. There was a little old boy out there ringing that. They already playing Santa Claus. And they don't, I'm going to tell you the reason why. They can commercialize that, but it's kind of hard to commercialize Thanksgiving a whole lot. When was the last time you just got out and thanked Him? We have men's prayer meeting, and you men, some of you men can't pray 3 minutes. It takes me longer than that just to thank Him for saving me. I'll tell you what a thankful heart will do for you. I'm going to tell you, if you've got that word, if you've got the word and the wafers and the wine in your soul, you can't help but to be thankful for what He's done.
Amen.
Listen to what Jesus said. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. When was the last time you thanked Him for that revelation of Himself?
Right.
You could be on your way to hell tonight, friend.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
When was the last time you thanked Him for the remission of your sins?
Amen.
When was the last time you thanked Him for regenerating your carnal soul?
Right. Yeah. Amen.
When was the last time you thanked Him for His return that's soon to come?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd venture to say there's some folk in here that ain't never thanked Him for the fact that He's coming back.
Amen.
When was the last time you thanked Him for redemption?
Right.
What a great God.
Yeah.
What goes in is what comes up. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Right.
If we've got the right diet going in, the talk that comes out will be thankfulness.
Amen.
I say it should be thoughtfulness.
Yes, sir.
I wonder really how thoughtful we are. I look here. And I've tried to look at my life lately, and I've come to the conclusion I'm about the most unthoughtful devil that ever lived. And when I talk about thoughtful, I hope you understand what I... And I don't know if I can get out what... Thoughtful. Having kind thoughts, thinking about other people, rather than thinking about ourselves. Think about being kind and courteous and gracious. Think about being thoughtful to other people. Not rude. Some of you young folks, not being rude, be thoughtful. Not hateful. I'm going to tell you, we got to, you know what? Laid down in bed last night, and Miss Hall's laying there, and I know she had kind of mushy-eyed. She said, I called Mrs. Robertson today, see what she's going to do for Thanksgiving, see if we could carry her plate over. And she said, no, that her son, I guess, Ross's son, was going to come pick her up, maybe going to spend Thanksgiving together. She said, I called Mrs. Grace McBride. Maybe we carry a plate over to her house or bring her over to our house Thanksgiving this year. Said the phone said it's been disconnected. We're going to find out if she's been taken off or something. I'm going to start being more thoughtful. I have found myself lacking doing things for other people. Being, just folks that are shut in. Somebody like Leroy back there. Leroy oughtn't have never had to cook a meal hardly ever at his house. Leroy, I'm trying to help you, man. You ought to say, preacher, I'm starving to death. If you'd have said, I'm hungry, buddy, you'd have had meat on the table all week. I'm going to say some more of our talk. Not only should be our talk should be thankful and our talk should be thoughtful, but our talk should be truthful. And if that word, wafers and wine, is going in, the thankfulness, thoughtfulness, and truthfulness will come out. It'll have to.
Yes, sir.
It'll have to. What goes in is what comes out. Just like what goes up is what comes down. He said, the root of thy mouth is like the best wine. Let's stand together.